I'm here today with Melissa Noriega, who is one of the candidates for City Council at Large number 3 in the special election. Melissa, I guess the first question is, why are you running for this office?
Charles, I appreciate being here with you today, and I appreciate that question. During the Katrina experiences that we all had, I was down at the Georgia Brown with my husband, Rick Noriega, and I looked at what this city could do, what it chose to do when it set its mind to it, and I decided that that is a can-do spirit that we could put into some other causes and issues. And about that time, I started thinking about running for the seat. And, you know, as time has gone on, I became more and more clear that that I'd like to get to work on some issues for Houston.
Okay. What do you think that you will bring to this office that none of the other candidates will?
I think I have some unique perspective. I've worked 27 years for the school district, which is both a government entity and a bureaucracy. But during that time, a lot of my experiences were with parent involvement, community engagement, getting out into the community, working with parents and families. I had my opportunity to spend in Austin, where I was able to look at how things work in Austin, how the money gets allocated, how we make laws and decide things, which has some utility in both getting resources for the city and trying to push agendas that benefit the city. And I have been a neighborhood activist. I was a civic association president. I've been involved with CDCs, with housing. I've volunteered. I'm a Houstonian, you know, and I have different areas that I've been involved with, all of which I think will benefit being in office for the city of Houston.
Let's talk a little bit about your background with HISD. How do you think that will make you a better candidate, your experience with the school board?
Not so much the school board, but the school district.
School district.
You know, we have an enormous chunk of our city that goes to school every day. We have kids that are the future of this city, and truly they're not getting it done all the time. We have a dropout rate that's a concern. You know, almost half our kids aren't making it through. I would venture to say even to you that we have a white, we have a brown, and we have a black school district, and they're not the same for every group of people. And one of the things I truly believe is that we as a community need to wrap ourselves around those students, those children. I don't think it's enough to expect the school district to go off in their little silo and raise our children. And so as an at-large council person, I think, you know, they tell you to pick an issue or pick a thing. Mine is going to be education, but it's going to be the edge things, the things that the city can impact. After-school programs and libraries, parks and activities. There's so many great things the city has done, like the junior golf program, that I think we can expand and enhance. I think this city as a community needs to make a decision that they're going to support, you know, their children. I think we can keep kids in school if we have things for them to do and activities that are involved. So I think that with that as an issue in the communities, in the schools as part of it, that's going to be helpful.
Okay, well, if education is your top issue, you know, what do you hope to do about it specifically, and what other issues would you consider your top issues?
Well, you know, two-thirds of the city budget is about police and fire. You know, it's public safety, and the rest of it is public works, except for just a little bit that picks up your garbage and does the capital improvement programs and those kinds of things. I think it's terribly important that people are safe, that we deal with flooding and we deal with air quality. You have the environment, you have public safety, you have healthy communities. You want to have a city that people do well in and prosper. I think that there are economic implications as well as quality of life implications for most of those things. Businesses want to come somewhere where their folks are safe and that they can breathe the air, and we have compliance, for example, with the clean air stuff. But I think that We've done better. You know, we were closing the libraries for a while. They're now having longer hours. But I think libraries, for example, are more than just a place for books these days. One of the things that I was involved with the school district was working with parent communities to learn how to use the computer. The real divide these days isn't a college degree. It's whether or not you have and can use a computer, whether you can get on the internet and figure things out. And I think our libraries need to be a hub of activity that lifts up folks that can't get at that by themselves. I think the municipal Wi-Fi is going to be a very exciting part of that. But you don't want to have a whole community that's left out. And I think the city brings the resources to the table and the vehicle to work with those communities and help them get their kids where they need to be.
Okay. Now, you spent time, one session, as a state legislator in Austin. I think you're the only candidate who has actually held a public office, as far as that goes. You know, how does that experience shape your candidacy and affect what you want to do as a city council member?
You know, there are a couple ways to look at that. One is to talk about how you manage things. You know, when you go to Austin, all you take is your integrity. You know, you get elected or you go like I did and you're appointed, but all you have when you get there is your ability to keep your word, do what you say you're going to do, sit down with people and try to find the best solution. I think it's helpful to have experiences where you test that and you learn how you're going to be in that kind of situation. I haven't been a city council person yet, but I know as a state rep, when you open the door, it's like the tide rolls in. And there are people coming at you every minute. And you have to do your homework. You have to figure out what the issues are. You have to catch up on things quickly and change from one topic to another. And I think it's helpful to have had some experiences like that to know how to manage all of that. Now, having said that, if you want to look at the city piece, a lot of the money comes through the state. You know, I think there are ways that Houston might be able to get better funding for certain kinds of things. I was talking with the firefighters about Homeland Security funding. They're not getting any of that. You know, maybe there's some things we can do to get some more money through the state Homeland Security system from the federal government. That money comes down from the federal government through the state to the cities. A lot of things are handled that way. The funding streams, the decisions about how people are allowed to use resources interact with the state government, sometimes with the county, sometimes with the federal government, but often with the state. So I think it's helpful to know how it works up there, who you've got to talk to, who the department or the agency heads are. So I think that's helpful as well.
Okay. Generally speaking, city council has acted more or less in consensus with Mayor White on most things. Do you expect to do that as well?
Well, you know, I think the mayor calls that tone to a great degree. I mean, I think an awful lot of the work that gets done before it comes to the council table. And I think that's really probably true of most entities. But I think the mayor has some to do with that tone. You know, the other side of that is that you never know if you're going to have the same mayor. So things could change really at any time. I think it's important to build relationships and to figure out ways to make things work both with the mayor and with your fellow council folk.
Okay. Well, of course, Houston City Charter gives Mayor White, or the mayor in general, a lot of power to set the agenda. That makes, you know, the Houston mayor is stronger and the city council is weaker than in a number of cities. You know, how do you advance your issues in that framework, and, you know, how do you get to stand out given that setup?
You know, I don't know that I'd want to talk about standing out. I think if you get to work and you sit down with folks and really get the job done, sometimes that doesn't show so much. We've had some interesting personalities in the past, and I wouldn't tell you that standing out is one of my goals. Getting the job done is...
That's what I'm getting at, really. How do you get attention to the things you want to do in a framework where you don't set the agenda?
I think you build relationships. I think you stay focused. I think you work hard and learn how things are funded, what the background is, what the stories are. I think you need to work well with your fellow council persons. And there are a lot of different perspectives and points of view. There are a lot of different neighborhoods. The districts are all different. I think it's important to stay in the lanes that you choose for yourself. I think people do better if they focus on specific things and try to stay in their lane.
All right. You mentioned crime earlier. It's obviously been a big issue in town lately. You know, recent statistics seem to suggest that crime is going down. Do you think that's the case, or do you think it's not the case? And what do you think City Council should be doing to help improve matters?
What it sounds like is that generally crime has decreased, but we've had some hot spots, and we've had to address some intense areas, and we've had to pay to do it. We've had some changes in the policing situation where we've lost some experienced officers. We've had folks having to do a lot of overtime. I think we need more officers. We need more academy classes. There's some issues with how we recruit folks at the state level in terms of whether we're allowed, for example, to go directly onto military bases and recruit. The rules are different in Houston. We need to do some legislative cleanup of that kind of thing. I think it will help as things resolve in the Middle East, because many of the classes, the academy classes, come from former military.
That situation's worked in reverse. It's been hard for the military to recruit against police forces.
Well, I think we're going to need to. I know they're working on it this session, and I think as we get some classes graduated and we get some experienced policemen, policewomen on the forces, we'll be able to do some of that. I don't think overtime, for example, is a good long-term solution, but I think it's helped address some of the hot spots right now. I think you've got to have a better long-term plan than that, but I think it's important to go where the energy is and take care of business.
Okay. You know, last year, after some controversy and after, of course, the tragic death of the Houston police officer, Rodney Johnson, there were some changes made to HPD's policy on dealing with people's immigration status. Do you agree with the changes that they made, and what if any further changes would you like to see made?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. I think we need to use common sense. I think spending time running around asking people their immigration status isn't appropriate. But if you're in a criminal situation, then that's one of the things that we need to be able to address. I don't think that the police force wants to spend their time doing the immigration department's work. But I think if you have someone that you are dealing with anyway, it is appropriate to find out what their status is. I think the idea that you can't go there isn't appropriate. But I also want to tell you, I do not think that badgering immigrants or trying to figure out if people are legal or illegal, if there's no other reason to be dealing with them, is appropriate at all.
Do you think that some people say that contributes to an immigrant community's unwillingness to deal with the police at all and aids crime? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, if they're scared of the police, they're not going to talk to them. And I think a public that communicates with the policing in their area is you have a better situation.
Okay. Talking about the environment now, Mayor White, of course, has recently unveiled a plan to reduce the concentration of benzene in Houston's air. One of the points of that plan involves negotiating with industrial plants that aren't actually within the city of Houston's boundaries. What's your opinion of that? Do you think that's overstepping our bounds, or do you think it's appropriate for him to do that?
Benzene is clearly a carcinogen, and benzene does not stay put around these chemical companies outside of the city limits. I think the air that we breathe, if it indeed has benzene in it, it's our problem. We have data now that shows that kids get leukemia because of air issues within 2 miles of chemical plants. I think there are probably other things that happen that we just don't know about yet. But I know when I drive through this city, there's a yellow band around the horizon because the air is dirty. And I think that someone needs to address this. My experience in Austin tells me that the state is probably not going to. I need to tell you, with the environment the way it is in Austin, I don't see TCEQ or any of the state agencies really being able to address this effectively. And I think that Mayor White deserves to be congratulated for stepping up to the plate. Now, my hope would be that he wouldn't have to sue these companies.
My hope would be that
knowing that the city is assuming jurisdiction will help bring these folks to the table so that a solution that everyone can deal with is found. The technology exists to scrub the air, to do what needs to be done in those stacks. They don't choose to do it when they don't do it. I think they can. I think in the long run, it will benefit everybody.
But if push comes to shove, you believe it's appropriate for the city to file a suit or to attempt to issue tickets and assess fines?
Yes.
Okay. Another issue in the news is historic preservation. Some Houston landmarks like the River Oaks Theater have been in danger of being bulldozed in favor of, shall we say, less historic development. What, if anything, should City Council do to abet preservation efforts?
I'm not sure this is an issue that I have been as focused on. I need to just preface whatever I say with that. But I think people need to use common sense. I think that the best historic preservation really teases out the areas and the landmarks that are truly historic, and that there's some common sense applied in terms of that. The people speak about that. If they think something, we've lost some things like that Witch's Hat House downtown that I think is probably a real shame. I also think that it needs to be sensible.
Okay. Is there an approach you favor, or is that not something
you've not done yet? Honestly, I would have to sit down and really look at the regulations, and I have been focused on, I'd rather talk to you about air quality problems.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's keep going. Sort of air quality, council passed a stricter smoking ban last year, extending the existing ban into bars. But there's still some exemptions for that, for outdoor patios and some other types of businesses. Did you favor the ordinance that they passed, and do you believe there's more work to be done on that, or it's okay as it is?
I would describe myself as data-driven. I like it when they're clear facts. It's clearly not good for folks to breathe secondhand smoke. I've waited tables. I've worked in restaurants. And I think that that's a legitimate concern. I think it's appropriate to ask people to smoke somewhere where they aren't hurting other people. And I think all of the smoking regulations that we've brought to the table are appropriate.
Okay. Just in the news the other day, the mayor has unveiled a so-called pay-or-play plan where contractors that do business with the city would be required to either offer health benefits to their employees or to pay to a fund that would help defray the cost of treating uninsured sick people. What's your opinion of this plan?
I spoke the other day with a group of contractors, and they were very sure that all of them had health insurance for all of their workers, and I was so glad to hear that. I think that people need health insurance, and it's good public policy to ask. I don't know if the amount, I would like to know how much they were part of that conversation. There's a draft plan. I got the idea while I was visiting with these folks that they maybe had not sat down and been able to see that before it was unveiled. I think it's important to include everybody in the conversation. Having said that, I had the experience of doing without health insurance. While my husband was gone, I had military insurance that was not accepted in the medical center, and I ended up at the emergency room, and it's a pretty helpless feeling. I think people need to be able to access health care.
Okay. Well, there's a second part of that, which was a proposed joint effort with Harris County to provide an insurance option for people who don't make below a certain amount of money. What's your opinion of that?
I think this is a bigger problem than this, and we've got to get a handle on it. That's certainly one way to do it, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't think this is the end of this conversation. healthcare as an issue in this country is bigger than just this. And I have some real concerns about it all the way around. I think that counties need support. You know, there have been a variety of things that have been brought forward to help fund some of this at the county level. The immigrant issue that you brought up earlier, you know, the immigrants, according to Carol Keaton Strayhorn's report that she did this past year, bring in a great deal more money than they cost. But what happens is that the county has to pay the bill, and they're not the ones seeing the benefits. So I think that we're talking about something that needs a comprehensive approach, and I don't think just deciding that the contractors are going to dump into a fund is sufficient. Having said that, I think that having a cost-cutting situation where, you know, that's something you don't think you should have to do because it's cheaper. I just think we can do better with our public policy than that. I think that we're on a track here, but I don't know that we're done.
Okay. Mayor White recently had his State of the City address, and he some of the goals that he talked about in there involved things like cutting per capita residential power consumption by 5% over 5 years, cutting the city's consumption of motor fuels by 5%, and you know, to fund a 5-year plan to reduce the amount of solid waste that the city generates. What's your opinion of that, and what specific steps would you like to see taken?
You know, I was listening to a radio interview the other day with a hospital, and they were talking about cost cutting in terms of utilities in hospitals. And one of the things they talked about, this hospital was getting an award for having reduced energy consumption. And the man who was in charge said that if everyone turned their computer monitor off in the course of a year, they figured out it would save $7,000. I think there's a lot more that can be done with small things than people realize. You know, I listened to Mayor White when he talked about this at the State of the City. And, you know, at first glance you think, well, that doesn't make that big a difference, but a lot of those things do. I think calling on the folks in the city to participate and to be mindful of utility consumption is appropriate. I'd like to see everybody accept the personal responsibility to do things. Like I've been trying to make myself turn my computer off when I leave, you forget. You know, it's a habit, you have to change it. I think all of us have to participate in that for it to work. But I think that there are a lot of things that we can do.
Okay. You know, the city of Houston has term limits for its municipal offices of 3 2-year terms. You know, this seat you're running for would have been open in November anyway. Do you think that setup is a good one, or would you prefer to see it changed, as some people have advocated, you know, to like 2 4-year terms or just getting rid of term limits altogether?
I think any time you find yourself always having to run for office, it does distract from doing what you were hired to do, which is the work of the people. I don't have a problem with term limits. It might be that we need to look at what the terms are. You know, we have 3 2-year terms. If you had 2 4-year terms, for example, or if you had 3-year terms, or if you added an extra term, I know in Austin there's a learning curve. When I went up there, they teased about how freshmen should be seen and not heard. You know, there's this implication that you take a whole elected term to learn what you're supposed to do, and then you get one term in the middle to get things done, and then you're a lame duck on the third one. And that doesn't seem to me to be the most productive way to do things. But I also think that there's a place to get fresh folks in, and it maybe we need to look at what the timing of that should be. And I would hope that folks that would be involved in that would expect not to benefit from them themselves. You know, that we would try to do what was best for public policy and not what would benefit an individual member.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to talk about that I haven't specifically asked you about?
I think this is a great city. I think Houston has the potential to be one of the great cities of the world, not just of the United States. I think we have a community that's multicultural, that's tolerant, that is an economic engine. You know, there's great potential here for all kinds of industries, not just the energy corridor or those kind of things. We have universities. We have wonderful, wonderful communities. You know, I would like to go to work for the people of Houston because I think Houston is a phenomenal place to live. And you know, if I had the opportunity to serve on the city council, you know, I would get up and try to figure out how to do that every day.
Okay. Melissa Noriega, thank you very much, and good luck in the election.
Thanks, Charles.